Morning, King's Church.
Good morning.
It's good to see everyone. It's good to see everyone. I want to start off first by thanking Dave and Angie and the leadership of the church. I don't take these opportunities for granted at all. It's a great thing to be entrusted to stand here and address people. And so I want to thank you and thank everyone as well for coming out. You know, well, if you didn't come, we would be talking to a few people. But it's always great to meet like this. Can we rise and just pray? Father, we thank you. Father, we give you all the glory. Thank you for your presence that is evident in this place. This is the house of God, the gateway to heaven. We give you the glory. Lord, the time has come for your word to your people. I pray, O Lord, that they hear beyond what I'm saying. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We know that your spirit resides in us. It's writing his laws, your laws in our hearts. As we speak, O Lord, let laws be written. Let understanding come. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The entrance of your word gives people light. It brings light. Walls will be pulled down this morning. 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 Thank you, Abba Father. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please, if you would just continue standing, please. I like the New Living Translation. So I'm gonna go. So we're gonna be reading 1 Corinthians verse 15 or chapter 15. And I'm just going to read the first 8 verses. And now, I want to remind you, my friends, of the good news which I preached to you, which you received, and on which your faith stands. That is the gospel, the message that I preached to you. You are saved by the gospel if you hold firmly to it, unless it was for nothing that you believed. I passed on to you what I received, which is of the greatest importance, that Christ died for our sins, as written in the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised to life 3 days later, as written in the scriptures, that he appeared to Peter and then to all 12 apostles. Then he appeared to more than 500 of his followers at once, most of whom are still alive, although some have died. 7. Then he appeared to James and afterwards to all the apostles. And verse 8. Last of all, he appeared also to me, even though I am like someone whose birth was abnormal. Praise the Lord. Please, Amen. You can sit down. I know this season, next Sunday is Easter Sunday. I just pray that God will speak to us, because I tried to. This isn't what I was planning to share, But you know, he has his ways. We usually talk about Easter theme messages about this time, and I've decided to again share something that would act as a remembrance, because I know that we've heard this message over and over, but I know that God's word is always new, okay? And hopefully he would remind us of certain truths. We're a Bible-believing church.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're a Bible-believing church. Yeah. So he would remind us of some of these truths. By way of introduction, I just want to start off by saying that life, to me, seems as though we're always trying to find what matters. Okay? Sometimes I look at my daughter, Eden, and I see the chaos she causes when I try to grab her pillow from her. Oh, no, she goes everywhere with it. She goes to nursery with it. She wouldn't come to church without it. She, you know, it's interesting. But I just had to reflect on my life, you know, and what mattered to me at various stages in my life. As a young person, there was a time I just wanted to have fun. Attend birthday parties, hang out with friends. And then later on, I grew older and wanted to woo the opposite sex. That began to be interesting to me. In fact, we did so many very funny things, just casting my mind back. Sometimes you want to have look mature. Sometimes I would borrow my sister's makeup kit just to darken, you know, part of my chin to look like, you know. Yeah. And then into secondary school, went in, wanted to take some liking to sports. And then I witnessed an accident on a football pitch, and that just made me say, you know what, maybe this is not for me. Okay, and I just left that. And then the degrees, the education, eventually I found Eddie in Leeds while doing my master's. And of course, story, the rest is history now. And well, before finding Eddie in Leeds, at some point while I was still studying back in Nigeria, I began to grasp the concept of politics and power struggle within the context of Nigeria. Nigeria is a highly diverse, is somewhat polarized in the fact that the northern Nigeria is more populated and predominantly Muslims, and the southern Nigeria less populated and predominantly Christians. So I saw the advantages in numbers, especially in elections and things like that. And you would see that most establishments, most government positions, you know, had Muslim people from the north. So, what if I was born in the north? The chances are that I would have been a Muslim. And maybe as committed as I am to Christianity. Just follow me, okay? And I expanded that consideration to think about the idea of God. If I was born in India, the chances are that I would have been Hindu. What if I was born in China? What if I was born in Iran? What are the odds that I would be born into the right place and the right family, and to the right God? So I long to see God for myself, not because I'm born into a family that's a Christian. Yeah, my grandfather was part of those that brought, you know, the church we attend back home to the village where I'm from. And then all his children, my uncle and dad, you know, are Christians. But is this the God? Is this the real deal? Okay. And I searched. But the evidence strengthened my faith to stand here, because I've seen him, I've experienced him for myself. Trust me, if I wasn't coming out here today to England, probably I would have, you know, I would be elsewhere. Every atheist, not believing in God or in gods, acknowledges Jesus Christ in one way or the other. Mostly by the dates on their smartphone. By the dates on their smartphone. Why? We know the concept of BC, before Christ, AD, meaning Anno Domini, which is the Latin for in the year of the Lord. BC is used to denote years before the traditional birth year of Jesus Christ, whereas AD is used to denote years after that event. So they acknowledge. Okay? This is 2024 AD. There is a reference. It means that something happened for us to have that reference. How come this man reset the calendar? It's just a carpenter. How did a carpenter born in Bethlehem reset the calendar for us? Have you ever heard of Nazareth? Yeah? Okay. Heard of Bethlehem?
Yeah.
Have you heard of Netanya? No? Okay. Not many people. Netanya is a city between Bethlehem and Nazareth. But it's not really known. But it's much bigger. In fact, I think it's about 2.6 times larger than Bethlehem. Mm-hmm. But nobody knows it. Why? Because Jesus didn't live there. He wasn't born there. How did this carpenter reset time? How did he reset time? So this brings me to my topic on the significance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, or if you will, why resurrection matters. That's what I want to speak to. And I don't know that there's anything more important outside of our salvation, which includes resurrection. It is such a critical topic. It's such a vital topic. It forms part of the core of our faith.
Yes.
Okay. 1 Corinthians 15, 17 to 19 says, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied." I have the Message translation of it. The Message translation takes it from 16 to 20. So 1 Corinthians 15, 16 to 20. It says, if corpses can't be raised, then Christ wasn't. Because he was indeed raised, if corpses can't be raised, then Christ wasn't, because he was indeed dead. And if Christ weren't raised, then all you're doing is wandering about in dark, as lost as ever. It's even worse for those who died, hoping in Christ and resurrection, because they're already in their graves. If all we get out of Christ is a little inspiration for a few short years, we are a pretty sorry lot. But the truth is that Christ has been raised up, the first in a long legacy of those who are going to leave the cemeteries. Let me let that sink a little bit. You see, the scriptures, inspired and breathed by God himself, says that if there was no resurrection, we are completely and totally, utterly wasting our time. Okay? Our lives, our mission, our purpose, all in futility without the resurrection. Okay? I've come up with three reasons why the resurrection matters. And the first is that you have to know that it happened. You must know. We don't just come in here to, you know, these are not recitations. These are events that took place. You must know. A Christian must know that this happened. The second one is that resurrection matters because it confirms that Jesus is our Savior. And the third one is that resurrection matters because it gives us hope. I take from verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 15. It says, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he raised on the third day according to the scriptures. That he died, was buried, and on the third day he rose. That there, every sinner must know. That a man died, a man was buried, and a man came back to life after 3 days. And that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, although some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me as to one abnormally born. There, Paul is talking about his abnormal birth. That's not the natural birth, but he's being born again, second time. Paul met Jesus, but Paul met Jesus after he had already been crucified. Okay? How do you meet someone who's already died? How do you meet someone who's already died? They would have to come back, isn't it? Short journey to Damascus, and Paul's life was changed forever. Imagine someone known as the greatest murderous threat against what was known as the way, you know, what we now know as the church or Christianity, and all of a sudden, in the moment, changes things. Okay? I mean, I was looking at Acts 7, 54 up to chapter 8, verse 2, where he was standing approving the stoning of Stephen. And then, boom, encounters someone and switches team. It's unfathomable. It is significant. It was a significant event. It was a thing significant event. I just want to engage your imagination here for a while. Imagine if I came here this morning and I said, I can teach you how to maybe levitate. And I just go, and nobody has had any idea that we've got such capabilities, yeah? Just follow me. Just engage your imagination for a while. And I just go like that and tap my shoulder, and before your eyes I start to go up. And I tell you, you can do the same. And if someone stands up, and maybe Dave stands up and does the same thing, and how fast do you think that news would spread? How fast do you think it would spread? Yeah. I'm sure people would have, even TikTokers would come out, you know. I can show you how to, you know, I'm levitating with my, you know, YouTube 10 ways to fly. So why would we choose to share such a story and decide to keep this other one for ourselves? We're entrusted with a message. We're entrusted with a message. You know, because of the way where you are, if you've trusted in Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of sins, you know how to live forever. You can live forever. One of the greatest prophecies is in Matthew 16, 13 to 19, this conversation where Jesus went to the region of Caesarea Philippi and asked the disciples, who do people say I am? And they said, well, some people say you're John the Baptist, others say you're Elijah, others say you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Yeah. And he said, who do you say I am? And then Peter says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon, of son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh or by blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I'm sure the disciples didn't really comprehend what has happened there. But look at where we are today. From just 12 people, how many do we have now? And I checked this website yesterday, Statista, on the global population affiliated with many religious groups as at 2022. And we have 31.6% of the world population identifying as Christians. 31.6% from 12 people. I will build my church. Yes. Some people think the Bible wasn't written until way after Jesus' life. But here in 1 Corinthians, we see Paul says over 500 people saw the resurrected Christ. And most of them are still alive. I mean, as at when it was written. They saw with their own eyes. That is why this message exploded as evidence of the resurrection. They ran wild with it. Sometimes you might be here, maybe invited, and you're like, how do we know he really died? I did a little bit of digging, and I found out that the Romans were professional executors. They took pride, great pride, in the ability to kill. Okay? And they would make a spectacle of it by the road as a billboard. Yeah? He was wrapped in 75 pounds of linen and placed in a tomb for 3 days. And when he came back, he went to, you know, on his road to Emmaus, which is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. You don't do that if you're just barely alive. Okay? Don't do that if you're... It's wonderful. Verse 4 says that he was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Please understand, Israel or first century God followers were looking for the Messiah. They wanted a savior, especially that they wanted someone who was going to set them free from Rome. But they were thinking too small. Like the Roman government was oppressive to them, and they said, hey, you've got to set us free from this government. And Jesus came so that they could live forever, to save them from their sins and the death that came after their sins. And that takes me to my second point, that resurrection matters because it confirms Jesus as our Savior. See, there are prophecies from the Old Testament. God help us with time. There are prophecies from Old Testament. I'll just read a few from Isaiah 53 verse 10, where it says, yet it was the will, I'm reading from the Amplified Bible Classic Edition. It said, yet it was the will of the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief and made him sick. When you and he make his life an offering for sin, and he has risen from the dead in time to come, he shall see his spiritual offspring. He shall prolong his days, and the will and pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. He shall see the fruit of the travail of his soul and be satisfied by his knowledge of himself. Shall my uncompromisingly righteous one, my servant, justify many and make many righteous, that is upright and in right standing with God, for he shall bear their iniquities and their guilt with the consequences, says the Lord. I like this particular one in Psalm 16 verse 10, which says, because you will not abandon me to the realm of death, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. That there was the first sermon ever preached in church. You know, Peter quoted this in Acts 2 verse 27. He said, let me show you, understand that if you were part of the church in the first and second century, when you showed up today, the message you would get is, hey, he came back to life. Okay? If you read further down, Acts 2:29-30, 30-32, it said, my fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Jesus expounds on Psalm 16. Jesus defeated death. He saves us from our sins. He saves us from the consequence of our sins. We are reconciled to God. through Christ. Wendy's not here. I know she would tease me here. I heard of the job of a lifeguard, yeah? And Eddie often teases me and says, look, you're too careful, too cautious, because she knows I'd only prefer my water in a glass and not go with. But the job of a lifeguard is one that they look after swimming areas, help swimmers to stay safe and carry out rescues in emergencies, okay? And I had this account that when someone is drowning, okay, they are buried in their inability to swim, okay? And so for a lifeguard to save them, they have to overcome swimming, number one, and show that they can go in and pull this person out of their drowning without getting drowned themselves, yeah? Okay. That's a similitude of what Jesus Christ did. For him to save us, okay, he had to die and overcome death. That's why he's a worthy savior. He's tested it. He's our Savior. We follow a Savior who saves us from our sin and saves us from the consequences of our sin. I came across a writing. You can search it out. A writing by a well-known Jewish historian. His name is Flavius Josephus, 93 AD. And he wrote something, his own account. He said, I'll just read it. About this time, there lived Jesus, a wise man, if indeed one ought to call him a man. For he was one who performed surprising deeds and was a teacher of such people as accept the truth gladly. He won over many Jews and many of the Greeks. He was the Christ. And when upon the accusation of the principal men among us, Pilate had condemned him to a cross, those who had first come to love him did not cease. He appeared to them spending a third day restored to life. For the prophets of God had foretold these things and a thousand other marvels about him. And the tribe of the Christians, so called after him, has still to this day not disappeared. We haven't still disappeared. We're still here. We're still here. We're still here. You're still here. Singing marvelous songs, telling stories about him. Our lives have been changed by him. His spirit lives in us and influences us towards righteousness in this world that is broken and decaying. We're still here. Verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 15 says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Yeah. What he's trying to say is that sin would own us. That would be my label. What is your sin? What is my sin? Alcoholism? Greed? Lying? My sin is always before me. The Bible says that. In Psalm 51. For I know my transgressions and my sins are always before me. And we know that the wages of sin is death. There's no, we try to classify sin. Oh, that's a small sin. No, the wages of sin is death. Yeah. small B. You know, as society, we try, you know, he tried to give the degradation. The wages of sin is death. But the resurrection gives us hope. That's the third point. Resurrection matters because it gives us hope. Okay? We are not stuck to our sins. We know the account of how Jesus met Peter. Okay? While he used his boat and he was fishing, and said, oh, after preaching, he said, okay, can you pull out? He said, well, we've been toiling all night. He said, look, you know, do it again. And from then, Peter saw that this was a supernatural event because he pulled to the point that their net started tearing. And Jesus said, from now on, you're not going to be fishing for fish, but you're going to be fishing for people. Just follow me. And that began the adventure of a lifetime. Imagine, I'm just imagining Peter getting now to witness blind seeing, lame walking, Jesus walking on water. That was an adventure of a lifetime. And then leading up to a point where he shared the Last Supper with them, and to the point where he tells them, that they will all fall away on his account. If you look at Matthew 26. And Peter says, no, I'm not going to leave you. If everyone does that, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to, I would never. Jesus looked at him and said, look, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And that happened. Later on, we have an account where Jesus was arrested, and Peter, full of zeal, drew out his sword and cut the ear of Marcus, yes, the high priest's servant. Let me just digress there a little bit. I was listening to this man. I don't know if you've seen it. He was asked, what's the significance? Why did Jesus have to heal that man's ears? And the response I got was really interesting. I said, Jesus healed Marcus's ears such that there would be no evidence. What Peter did was a capital crime. If he had been taken before the council, it would have been a death sentence. But there was no evidence. Imagine taking, oh, he cut off my ears, but your ear is still there. There's no evidence. That's what dying for us, that's what the blood of Jesus does for us. As far as the east is from the west, I would take away your sin. There's now no condemnation. If you read further down, Matthew then gives account of the seven girls coming to say, oh, Peter, you were one of them. And he said, no. Another seven girl came, Peter, you were one of them. He said, no. And then the people came and said, you're one of them. Your accent gives you away. This time around, he calls and curses. And then the rooster crowed. The Bible says he wept bitterly. But that's not the focus. In John 21, that gives the account of Jesus reinstating Peter. Okay. And, you know, where he appeared to them and said, have you caught anything, my friends? They said, no, again. He said, okay. Let your net down again. And This time around, they had 153 fish. Why do we know that number? Because someone counted the fish and wrote it down so that we can read it today. These events happened. After they've had the meal, the Bible in John 21, 15 to 19 says, Jesus calls on Peter and says, Peter, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, I love you. You know I love you. He said, feed my lamb. Peter, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, you know I do. Take care of my sheep. Peter, a third time, do you love me? This time around, Peter was, he was hurt because, you know, Jesus has been asking him this for three times. Do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. Feed my sheep. Jesus is trying to say, I've called you to more than fishing. I've called you to more than this. I've called you to more than death that sits on the other side of your sin. Peter, are you ready to do what I've called you to do? Today, that's the question for each and every one of us. That's the question for us. Are we ready to do what he's called us for? Are you ready to fulfill your purpose, walk in your mission, to do everything that the Lord has called you to do because you are going to live forever? 1 Peter 1:3 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The disciples went from being cowards to performing wonders to the point that they would accept death. How much are you convinced of this Jesus Christ? How much? You see, it's easy to be a Christian here in this country. Can you be a Christian in Iran? Can I be a Christian in northern Nigeria that churches are locked up and set ablaze? Can I still stand? Can I stand and defend the cause of the gospel? In summary, resurrection matters because it happened. You have to know. You have to know. Just as you would go about spreading the news of the capability to fly, we should spread this word that this event happened. Resurrection matters because it confirms Jesus as our Savior. Resurrection matters because it gives us hope. If you only have hope in this life, in Jesus, then you are to be pitied. Okay, you are to be pitied. Angela and you said something last week. I don't know how many of you heard, but just paraphrasing, she said, Lord, I think she was about sleeping and said, Lord, I might wake up with you tomorrow. And I paused. I've been pondering on that throughout the week. one day, much sooner than we realize, you will know what matters most. You will know. Okay? The stages of life evolve. Stages of life evolve. We'll go from, you know, going to school, going to have a degree, getting a job, getting married, and then you've worked for some time. You say, okay, it's now time to travel the world and all of that. And after that, what? You will know. We will know sooner or later what matters most. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, his death for the forgiveness of our sins, and him showing you that he's defeated death, allowing us to have his Holy Spirit deposited in us as a guarantee that he's going to carry you to the finish of forever with the Father, forever and ever, where there is no sadness, no sickness, no death, no heartbreak, no death, no cancer, none of that. I know that maybe some of you know the gospel already. Maybe you've heard it all before. But this is your moment. This is your moment. What matters most to you? That's a question. Shall we pray? Father, I pray these words will resonate. These words would live in our hearts. Let us know, let us come to appreciate more the price you paid for us. It's not about Easter bunnies. No. Let us know. And in knowing, let the scriptures be, so mightily would grow your word and would prevail in this city, in this town, in the towns of this country. Let us not be ashamed of the gospel. Let us know the power that is in the gospel. Thank you, Abba Father. Thank you, Abba Father. Thank you, Abba Father. In Jesus' name, we're praying.